Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to bring on our good buddy Abe Gordon. Our conversation with Abe is brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelers. The world is watching greatness. Celebrate yours at Salomon Brothers, Buckhead, Alpharetta, Sharpsburg, and by Top Tech Mechanical Services. Call 404-TOP-TECH. Abe, after all that hoopla over the last month, it looks like the teams are exactly who we thought they were. You get the top four teams of the FIFA rankings have all reached the semifinal. What have you thought of some of the action over the last couple of days, man? It's been some serious craziness, I guess, that has gone on over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think generally kind of incredible that you're stuck here after all of this with the top four teams. I mean, we talk about, you mentioned it, go through NFL, how many times are seeds 1 and 2 in the conference championships in both conferences? Certainly, how often do all 4-1 seeds advance in the NCAA tournament? And you can go through baseball, NBA didn't have the 1 seeds. It really doesn't happen all that often, especially not in soccer, especially because it is a flawed ranking system to begin with. But you're looking at these semifinals and both of them, which you would kind of expect, feel like they could be finals. Like definitely France and Spain, we've seen in the finals of European tournaments in recent years. And then obviously Argentina, they just keep finding ways to win. It's not always the most impressive. It's usually by 1 goal, although this past affair in extra time, they were able to put 2 home. But these are the big boys you want at this stage of the tournament. And the games are going to be huge in Dallas tomorrow and then here in Atlanta on Wednesday.
Yeah, but Abe, on their – you mentioned Argentina and their semifinals in England. Hasn't England done a little bit of the same the way they've advanced?
I think so, but if you look at the three teams being France, Spain, and Argentina, I think there's a view that there's a drop-off after them. And so I don't think that it's a massive surprise that England has had a 2-1 win against Congo, a 3-2 win against Mexico and a 2-1 win against Norway. It just feels like the gap in theory, because I'm not sure I totally believe this yet, but in theory, the gap between those top three teams and where England is, they're supposed to be a little bit of a cliff, a little bit of a drop-off. I almost want to make it a two-team drop-off, like where France and Spain, at least in terms of the form that these teams are in right now, versus where England and Argentina is. Doesn't mean that won't change come the finals.
Yeah, that's actually it's funny that you say that, because I wanted to ask you that about that it does feel like, yeah, I don't believe, and I don't think anybody believes this, because, look, these are all, they're literally world powers in the sport, but it almost feels like a lot of people in their heads are going to say France and Spain. Those are the two big dogs. That's the in other sports, you say, well, that's the real final, right? That's, you know, sometimes you see the AFC, NFC change, well, that was the real Super Bowl. That was just, but I think Argentina and England can both win, but France and Spain seem like more powerful teams right now, right?
I absolutely agree, and it's also going to depend on how these games play out. I think there's a big difference between cruising, not that this will happen in any of these games, but look, the France and Spain game is a day earlier, so in theory they're going to get an extra day of rest over England-Argentina come Sunday's final, but it also depends on what sort of intensity these games are played at, because if one of these teams gets out to a 3-0 lead and maybe can see it through, that's an advantage versus, hey, we're going to extra time. We had a hard 120 minutes, and then how do you recover in the couple of days from, you know, the semifinal to the final? So it's all about the form you're in right now. It's not necessarily the best team over the course of the tournament. It's the best team over these next two games. And there are definitely going to be factors that could change things when we advance to Sunday's final.
Well, let's dive into that matchup between France and Spain real quick. That game's tomorrow, 3 o'clock, I believe. And you said it. It's in It's in Dallas, and those are two teams, like you just said, great teams. What's the key to victory for both these teams to try to be able to move on?
Well, I think the question for France is how do you create without having as much of the ball as you would ideally have? This is a Spanish squad that is a master of possession, and they just keep the ball. We saw it in their win against Belgium, but Belgium was able to score, and it took a lot for Spain to find a winner in the 88th minute. And quite frankly, I don't think they find that winner if Belgium's goalie doesn't exit injured, because I just don't think Thibaut Courtois is handing that rebound back for Marino to tap it in. And so who knows what happens if Courtois doesn't get hurt in that game. France has got to maximize their opportunities. And the good news for them is they've got a trio up top with Elise, Dembele, and then, of course, Mbappe, and we'll have to keep an eye on that ankle. I believe he's going to be fine, but you just never know until you get out there. France has got to capitalize on their counters, because it does feel like Spain is going to try and control possession like they traditionally do. The problem I would have if I'm Spain is what happens if France scores first. I think Spain is a great front-running team. I don't think they have a great ability to just create a goal when they need to create a goal. Again, they got a little bit lucky against Belgium, and they're very comfortable when they score first, holding on to the ball and picking and choosing their spots. If they're not able to just pick and choose spots to attack, if they have to go for it, what does that open up for France on the other end?
You know, Abe, I actually think we've had a lot of star power in this World Cup, and we should with the best players in the world, but we've seen the best, I feel like, out of an aging Messi. Mbappe has been really good. Holland, and then Harry Kane and Jude Bellingham as well for England. Who's been, to you, in your mind, the best? The guy that is really – I know the golden boot's going to go to whoever scores the most, but who do you think's been the best player in this tournament, match in, match out?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Squid. And a lot of people, I think, overreacted a little bit to the back-to-back games that Jude Bellingham has had for England. He's up there, but it's still Mbappe. I think Bellingham has had huge goals and huge moments. He's had a couple of really nice one-on-one attacks as well. But it's not like I would replace him with Mbappe. He's just been too good, especially considering that it feels like for France, everything's being led by Mbappe. You got to remember, for Bellingham, Harry Kane is out there. He scored 6 goals in this tournament as well. And so much of the focus is going to be on him. And I think Bellingham can run on the left side of him and find some openings. It's the other way with Mbappe. I think you're seeing guys like, I know Elise hasn't scored a ton, but Dembele has scored a bunch because Mbappe's setting him up. Mbappe is leading the Golden Boot because of the assist numbers on top of the goal totals. And so I still think Mbappe, 8 years after we watched him be the best player in the World Cup in France's win way back then, I still think he's the best player in the world right now.
All right, Abe, before we let you go, look, you've mentioned it and you've thoroughly talked about it, both of these semifinals. Who is going to be playing in the final, in your opinion?
I do think it's going to be France. I've just really appreciated what they can do offensively when they decide to attack. And again, going back to the best player in this tournament, I just think Mbappe is such a difference maker. Spain has shown the ability to be scored on now. You know, they'd gone this entire World Cup without giving up a goal. They now conceded against Belgium. I think that's going to give France all the confidence that they need. Assuming Mbappe's ankle is 100%, I think it is, but you just never know. I do like France to get out there. They just seem to, when they need a goal, give it to Mbappe and he'll find one. England-Argentina is fascinating. You can't really feel confident if you're Argentina the way that you've played. Obviously, almost got eliminated here in Atlanta by Egypt. You were down in that one big. And it took everything you had, including down to 10 men against Switzerland to advance past them. I know the scoreline was 3-1, but really that thing was 1-1 up until the 111th minute. So I'm actually going to go with England. I think they have a little bit more playmakers, not necessarily better playmakers, but more of them. And I just wonder if the way that Argentina's played, they're not really burying opponents. So I'm going to go France and England in the final.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Love it, man. Hey, before we let you go, what'd you think of that Conor McGregor fight?
That took place. I just have a look.
That took place.
So many guys.
I know Abe's got a conspiracy theory about it, that he has some tall tale about how it was hurt like six weeks before.
Look, I just don't believe so many guys come into these fights hurt. If you watch some of the post-fight interviews, there was a guy earlier in the night who said that he tore his meniscus and MCL a couple of weeks ago, and he came out and won the fight. I just so many guys get to the fight less than 100%. You have to wonder if a fully healthy, especially knowing the health status of Conor McGregor, obviously coming off the broken leg, the ring rust, all that stuff. I don't think he was 100% coming into that fight. I think he probably knew his knee was let's say questionable, and I think he tried to find a way to knock out Holloway immediately. Once that didn't happen, the knee was just going to go anyway. So, yeah, I don't think he was 100%.
That was the worst strategy ever, to try to knock someone out with a bad leg. I'm sorry.
I think he didn't want to fight, in my opinion. I think he didn't want to fight. I think he thought his strategy was, how can I get out of here quickly? Oh, let's tear the ACL.
I don't see a way where he fights.
No, I think it was already torn. Oh. That's what I'm saying. I think it was already torn.
Yeah, I think there was some sort of injury. I don't know if it was torn or partial or what. I know he's got one fight left on his contract. I don't think he ever steps in the octagon again.
Yeah. I'll be
waste.
I'll be hard pressed to make an appointment television if and when he does. Hey, Abe, thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit, buddy.
Yeah, enjoyed it, fellas.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze.
Let's love.